Some of you may know this, but I keep a bottle of bubbles. Oops, that wasn't good. In the door of my car. Yeah. If I end up stuck in traffic and we're not moving, I will roll down my window and start blowing bubbles out the window. It gives me something to do, something that brings me joy and entertains those around me as well. And they probably, they're wondering who that crazy person is in the blue car. But it makes the waiting easier and reminds me that there is more to waiting than sitting and doing nothing. I recently read where Americans together spend 37 billion hours a year waiting in line. You would think with that much time and experience with waiting, we would be better at it. With the internet, studies have shown that we are patient for all of 2 seconds for a video to upload, more than 5, and we will move on. So we are still a very impatient people. Maybe because we see waiting as unoccupied time, which we think is wasted time, and then it makes it seem even longer. The primary cost of waiting is emotional. We get angry, stressed, bored, that nagging sense that our life is slipping away in real time. I myself have thought, well, there goes 30 minutes of my life that I will never get back. Waiting time is seen as wasted because it's idle. Though now with cell phones and Wi-Fi, there is no such thing as doing nothing anymore. Yet we still don't like to wait. When I worked in healthcare, one of the greatest complaints of our elders in the skilled nursing area was when a staff member would say, I'll be right back, or I'll be back in a few minutes. For them, it was never a few minutes. It was never even a little while. Now, it might not have truly been that long, but when you're waiting and you don't know how long you will be waiting, time moves slower. Our psalm today was one sung by pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem, or they were also using it when celebrating a festival in the city. It has been called the De Profundis, Latin for out of the depths because of its opening line. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. From the depths of whatever despair or difficulty or sin or pain, the psalmist cries out to God to be heard. Recognizing his circumstances may be of his own making, the writer is also counting on forgiveness and steadfast love that is simply part of who God is. Now, you have to admire this psalmist for a couple of reasons. First, he takes responsibility for the situation where he finds himself. He knows he has sinned. He's turned away from God and God's ways, perhaps caused injury or trouble for another person. Whatever it is, he owns it and is counting on God to tear down that wall between them with forgiveness. He has not yet been heard that he knows of, and he's not heard from God, so he's waiting and waiting and waiting. The people who sang this song knew something about waiting. They waited for generations to be set free from Egypt. Then they waited 40 years to reach the promised land. Then the waiting in exile or while oppressed by other empires. No, these people were well acquainted with waiting, real waiting, over a long time, with much uncertainty, not only about the length of time, but what the final outcome would be. They didn't even know what they were waiting for. If you read the Hebrew scriptures in some places in the wilderness, I think the Hebrews thought they were waiting to die in that wilderness. For the psalmist, though, it is more than waiting. It is a longing for God, a waiting of the soul. In other words, the writer is submitting themselves to whatever length of time it takes for God to respond, to turn toward him and hear his cries. The psalmist describes his waiting in a variety of ways. Waiting for God's response. He's waiting for God's promise. He's waiting to see what God will say and do. There is an expectation that God will respond. I always, when we first started, this shows how old I am. When we first started using email, something that some people have used their whole lives, I will say, I have to admit, I always felt like I was sending this message out into this great abyss until I received a response. I never felt the message got to its intended receiver until they answered me. I would almost breathe a sigh of relief. Even if it wasn't the answer that I wanted, it was an answer. I meant my message got through and I was heard. Sometimes our prayers can feel a bit like that. Tossed into the abyss of God's great inbox, along with all the other prayers and cries for help or guidance. More than often than not, there is no immediate response, or at least one that we can immediately discern. Meanwhile, we sit in our pain or our grief or our guilt, whatever it is that prompts our prayer that we need God to hear. Now, this can be paralyzing for us, which is not what faithful waiting is supposed to be. It was John Lennon who said, "Life is what happens while you're busy making other plans." Life will continue to go forward even while we wait for God. The central verse of the psalm was deemed so important that the writer actually repeats it, not just kind of restates it, but repeats it verbatim. "My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning." More than watchmen for the morning. The watchmen cannot give up the work of their post as they wait for the sun to rise and their shift to end. No, they must continue to protect the city even as the night turns to day. So we too must continue living in the world, fulfilling our role, perhaps living into our repentance if guilt is what causes us to cry out. And in that living, finding what it is God wants us to be doing and how God wants us to be as God's own in the world. Even when weighed down, we can reach out to our neighbor. We can continue to live our love for God. Perhaps we cannot yet put our whole heart into doing that, but neither can we hole up in fear and pain until that answer comes. In honor of Mr. Rogers' birthday, I want to share some words from him. He wrote a lot of songs. In fact, Nancy gave me a whole book of his poetry and songs. And one of those is, "Let's think of something to do." And the words go like this. I'm not going to sing it. "Let's think of something to do while we're waiting, while we're waiting for something new to do. Let's try to think up a song while we're waiting that's liberating and will be true to you. While we're waiting till something's through, you know it's really all right. In fact, it's downright quite bright to think of something to do that's specific for you. Let's think of something to do while we're waiting." Our waiting for the Lord isn't meant to be idleness or wasted time. No, we're meant to continue to live our life of faith while waiting upon God. In fact, it is often in the midst of that living that interaction with others is where God comes to us. Words of wisdom from others, a comforting arm around the shoulder, the person who sits quietly next to us and doesn't say a word, but makes it okay to pour out our hearts, to cry, or to confess. God can come in the midst of conversation about something totally unrelated to your burden. He can come in so many unexpected ways. Part of our waiting must be hope. That is the expectation that we will be heard and that a response will come. Unlike waiting for people or events to arrive, waiting for God requires a little bit more from us. We must be willing to bear uncertainty, to carry with us the unanswered questions. Living faithfully means living with the mystery that is God, the one whose ways are not our ways. God is never in the same hurry that we are, for God's time and our time are never the same. Once we have given something over to God, the most faithful thing we can do is to wait like that watchman, looking for the light to come, for the direction to become clear, to be assured of God's love and forgiveness. No, waiting is not wasted time. It is faithful time. It is where our hope can come to life, where it can grow and be strengthened. For the psalmist, waiting and hoping are two sides of the same coin. In fact, if we wait without hoping, there's little chance we will be able to see or hear any response, and we will probably give up much sooner. Hope is what opens us to the possibilities of God, which are infinite. Hope is what raises our awareness to God's presence in our lives and the world, things that we might miss otherwise. Our spiritual that we will all be singing today is Steal Away, and we're going to be accompanied by our friends, the Old Time Religion Group. Unlike many spirituals, we actually know the author. His name is Wallace Willis, and he was a slave. A minister heard him sing this, and he put the music and lyrics down so that we have it today. This is a song for people who are also waiting in hope, waiting for freedom, a day when they could live as human beings and not property, a day when they could have a home and a family without fear of being separated from each other. The words refer to more than stealing away to heaven, although that is certainly one of the meanings here. But it also served as instructions to the slaves about going to a meeting, perhaps back in the woods, where they may be planning escape. Or maybe they're learning to read and write, something that was forbidden for them, so that when they become free, they have a chance to actually make a life. While we do not know for ourselves what it was like to live enslaved or to be considered property rather than neighbors, we all have cried out to God. Whatever our circumstances, whatever we're going through, we wait with hope in God's never failing love for us. Are you waiting for the Lord? Have you lifted up a prayer and are waiting for God to hear and respond? Is it taking longer than you had hoped for resolution to come? Does it seem like nothing is moving or changing for you? Well, here's your pastoral advice. Pull out your bubbles. Take a moment for joy, to be reminded that God is already present and at work. Amen.